You're listening to KGNU. I'm Babette Barone. Today we're talking about the social impact of divorce or widowhood on women. My guests are Mandy Walker and Karen McMahon. Mandy Walker is a Boulder-based divorce coach and mediator and helps men and women navigate through the emotions, logistics, and practicalities of divorce, working with them as they consider divorce and working through the legal process and recovery from the end of their relationship. Following her own divorce in 2007, Mandy started to interview people about what they had learned from their divorce and how they'd survived and grown. She started the Since My Divorce blog and today has interviewed over 200 people. She brings this collective wisdom to her coaching practice. Karen McMahon's passion is to help men and women navigate the emotional difficulties of relationships, breakups, and divorce. Karen founded Journey Beyond Divorce in 2010 after discovering that the pain of dissolving her marriage had been the stimulus for her personal transformation. During her 3.5-year tumultuous divorce, Karen's life began to improve exponentially, and she found her true voice. She's a graduate of the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching and a certified member of the International Coaching Federation. Interestingly, 51% of the U.S. is now single. 45% of first marriages end in divorce. And although the gap has been narrowing because women live longer or are more likely to have an older spouse, a woman's odds of being widowed are much greater than a man's. Although divorce and widowhood are different in many ways, today we're focusing on some of the common issues women face. We have scheduled a separate program on the financial impact, so we won't be covering that today. So let's jump right into our discussion. Mandy, maybe you can start out. What are some of the significant changes that are experienced after divorce or widowhood?
Well, I think both of those events have the capacity to turn your life upside down and inside out. It can touch on every single area of your life, like your finances, your social life, what you do work-wise, your children, where you live. So both of them have huge, huge impacts on people who are going through that.
And Karen, do you want to comment as well?
I would say that, you know, Mandy's really pointing out all of the external things that happen. And then the other side of it is that there's so much struggle that goes on. There's so many things in terms of the way that women look at themselves within their life, and so there's a lot of emotional struggles, and of course the entire grieving process and how our society handles that. And so I think that between the external and the internal, that it's a very, very turbulent time in life.
So you mentioned the emotional impact. What are the differences in emotional impact between divorce and widowhood?
I'll jump in there because I think that as a society, we are not very good about recognizing divorce as a loss. I kind of joke with people, like, you know, when you are going through a divorce, nobody's going to knock on your door and say, "I bought you dinner." They stay away because of they're uncomfortable dealing with it and maybe don't want to get dragged into it. But that is, for me, one of the most visible differences between divorce and widowhood is that we're not skilled at treating divorce as a grieving situation. And then a couple of other points is for people who have minor children, you are still going to be working with your ex. Your ex hasn't died. They're still around. You're going to be working with them on parenting your children. And that is another big difference between widowhood and divorce.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that, with the loss of a spouse, there could be such incredible heartbreak, especially, you know, in relationships that have, you know, been blossoming and that have been going on a long time, and such an incredible sense of loss when there's a death. And in divorce, sometimes that happens, and sometimes it's a very different emotional experience because the relationship has been broken and you've actually been experiencing pain for and struggling for a very long time. So I think there's a lot more variation for women who are experiencing divorce. And then on the grieving front, I absolutely concur with Mandy. I think as a society in general, there's a lack of patience toward grieving and the time that it takes. And then if you're going through a divorce, it's such an incredible loss. And it's not just your spouse. It could be your in-laws. It could be a circle of friends. Like, there's so many different levels of it. And, you know, for women to really find the kind of support with people who allow them the time to grieve and go through all of the various feelings of it, I think is really vital.
And I think, Karen, your point about grieving too is we still tend to judge divorce. So when somebody's getting divorced, people often want to know, well, whose fault was it? Who made the decision? Why did it happen? And then then they take it from there that if somehow it was you that filed for divorce, that must mean that you wanted it and therefore you're not grieving. And that's not the case at all, because I do believe that everybody grieves from the end of the marriage, because it's a loss to everybody. And that's something that we don't do a good job of recognizing.
Yeah, you mentioned judgment, and I think that's an interesting area. Do you think in this day and age there is still a fair amount of judgment about divorce?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And interestingly, and Karen will tell me to kick in with your experience, but a lot of that judgment comes from the persons themselves. It's self-judgment, which is a reflection of their own views on divorce. And those views do tend to change now that they're going through it and they experience it. But oftentimes when people are fearful about going public with their divorce or talking about it, as I talk to them, it really uncovers the fact it's the way that they've perceived divorce historically. What do you think, Karen?
I agree with you, and I think that there's so many different levels of it that can come up. So you could be raised in a household where you're a really bad person if you get divorced, and you have failed if you don't make your marriage work. And so there can be that. There can be guilt around it. There can be either condemnation from other people or self-condemnation. And so when it comes to a marriage breaking up, even if you know, like, I did everything I could and this was the only healthy track, if you are raised with certain beliefs or are in a community with certain beliefs, there can be a tremendous amount of internal struggle that goes on around that decision and the judgment around it. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it right? Is it wrong?
What would you say are some of the common social coping mechanisms that people engage in? And are there strategies that you can recommend in those situations?
I'll jump in on that. You know, I was thinking, I could break everyone up into two categories when it comes to that. There are people who, whether you're getting a divorce or you've lost your spouse, who are very socially active. They might have a church community or they may be involved in schooling or yoga or something, and have a large circle of friends. And they're in so much of a better position in terms of stepping back into a social dynamic than the other person who might have been fairly secluded and really it been more about them and their spouse. And those people, I find, really struggle because they'll say, you know, I grew my friends when I met my kids' parents, and now I'm older, and certainly if I'm retired, like, how in the world do I go out there and create a social network? And we're not even talking about, like, dipping your toe into the dating pool. We're just talking about getting out of your house and engaging with a group of people or individuals who you have some connection with and some interest with. And I think that that's a big area where people struggle.
And I think that that can be the same for somebody who's going through widowhood or divorce, is that suddenly being alone and losing that person that you did everything with. I would say, certainly on a practical level, households always divide responsibilities, and there's one spouse that does one thing and one spouse that does the other, and sometimes it's gender based and sometimes it's not traditional, all that. But when your spouse is gone, then all of that falls on you, and you have to decide whether you are going to do it yourself, learn how to do it, hire somebody else to do it. But I would encourage people to reach out and ask for help. And that's something that we're not very good at doing, again, because we might be fearful of judgment, or we're worried that it's going to create a debt and somebody, we feel like we're going to owe somebody. But in my experience, when you ask people for help, most people want to help you and they're willing to help you. They just don't know how. So if you call your neighbor up and say, hey, I need to change the filter in my furnace and I have no idea how to do that, could you help me with that? I could, 99% of the time, they're going to say, yes, I'd love to come and help you. What can I do? And I think that asking for help is a really good coping mechanism.
Have you experienced people avoiding somebody who's newly widowed or newly divorced? It's almost like it might be catching. Do you see that? And how could somebody respond to that positively?
You know, I think that there can be an awkwardness about not knowing how to handle it. I think that, you know, even if you think about certain people are adverse to going to wakes and funerals, like just a discomfort with the whole concept of death and what do you say and feeling awkward. So I would imagine that may be a part of it. But I can't say that with the women that I work with that they've voiced a tremendous amount of struggle there. I think it's more if they're an introvert or if they're shy, to really encourage them to step out. And you know, I just want to say, as women, like, there's nothing more valuable than our girlfriends, our sisters, our female companions. I mean, we're wired the same way. And I really encourage my clients to step out and trust that you're going to connect, you're going to have conversations. You know, women are they're very big-hearted and compassionate, and they're good listeners most of the time. And so you really can get out there and start creating circles of people who will support you where you're at.
And can I jump in and just say, I have run into instances like that, and there are a couple of things there. I think one is a concern by somebody that they don't want to choose between you, and this is in a divorce situation, obviously not widowhood, but they don't want to choose between you and your spouse, and they don't want to be put in that position, so it's easier for them to kind of take a step back and avoid it. The other reason I think that happens is that they're fearful for their own marriage, and that there's something going on there that they need to build a wall around and shield themselves from you. So if somebody's experiencing a friend who's being standoffish or distancing themselves because of the divorce, I would say it's not about you. Chances are it's more about them and what's going on in their life. You don't know what's going on, but you know, you can choose to still be a friend to them and to let them know that you value their friendship and that you'd like their support.
Okay, you're listening to KGNU. For those of you who may have just dialed in, I'm Babette Barone. We're talking about the social impact of divorce or widowhood on women, and my guests are Mandy Walker and Karen McMahon. You had mentioned some of the emotional responses or feelings that women have. Women going through loss may experience loneliness. How does that impact them? And what can they overdo to overcome those feelings of loneliness and loss of self-esteem?
I think that one of the key things is that, you know, isolation when we're not feeling good about ourselves, when we're doubting, when we're not feeling like we want to put our happy face on, it's really easy to isolate. And if as a listener, if you know someone who's lost their spouse or you have or gone through a divorce, it's like it's a real red flag. And to really reach out and be that lifeline and connect with them, because when you're isolating, you're also, everything's in your head, and it gets so much bigger than it really is, the problems, the fears. And so just, if you're isolating, to reach out to a friend, if you have a friend who is, to reach out to them, because that's such a lifeline, to just draw them back into interaction and conversation so that they're able to process it. Because that's the other thing with grief, is we need to talk to people in order to process all of those emotions that are going on. So I would say that that's one of the big ones.
I agree with you, Karen. It's just really important to pick a couple of really trusted, good friends that you can turn to so that you don't isolate. And I also think it's important to recognize there's a difference between loneliness and being alone. If you've spent 30 years in a marriage with somebody and then that person is gone, going out socially on your own is going to feel weird. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be very odd to be, you know, suddenly having to step out of the house, drive yourself. Hey, I remember when I was divorced, my husband used to drive us everywhere. So the thought I had of driving down to Denver at night when I don't have super great night vision and I can't read road signs very well scared me a lot. So I was really thankful to discover GPS. But it's like, you know, so some of that is that, you know, you can find just gradually getting used to being on your own and doing things on your own. Every time you do something new, you're going to get a little boost of confidence that says, yay, I can do this. And that being alone is going to feel uncomfortable, but you will get used to it. And I think it's just really helpful to understand the difference between being alone and feeling lonely, because they are two different things.
I think that's such a great point, Mandy. And I was going to say something on the self-confidence too. Like it just makes sense that in the short term, without that partner, you know, that your self-esteem either has already been broken or you can really begin to doubt yourself. And one of the things, I'd love to share this short story, one of the things that I think is so vital is to notice your thoughts, your belief system. And so a lot of people, I have women in their like 40s and 50s saying like, that's it, you know, I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life and like life is over. And what you focus on grows. And so I strongly encourage people to, you know, if that's not what you want, don't keep speaking into that. And I have a client who married for 45 years. At 65 years old, her spouse left her for a younger woman, and she was devastated. And it's 4 years later, and she told me, you know, my life is never going to be the same, and I'm going to be lonely. Well, it's 4 years later. She actually called me yesterday, and she sounded like a giddy 16-year-old. She's 69 years old, and she goes, I have four words for you, Karen. I have a lover. And it was just so delightful that she worked through all of these things. She was in coaching. She challenged her thoughts, and she really pushed past a lot. Now she has a fairly vibrant social life, and she's clearly met a man that she's excited about. And so life doesn't have to be over. We need to grieve. We need to take the space that's necessary. And then there's a new chapter if you choose to believe in it. And that's like the most important thing I think women need to know.
Well, you've both kind of talked around this, but any more ideas about how women can take control and feel empowered? I know when I went through my divorce, it felt like I had no control and I kind of felt powerless. So how does somebody kind of take that and become more empowered?
Well, Babette, how long ago were you divorced?
Oh, a long time ago.
So I do think the landscape for getting divorced has changed significantly. It's changed a lot in the last 10 years. And there are people like Karen and myself who are divorce coaches that we're here to help guide people through that process. And I'm not self-promoting here, but truly, I think one of the best ways to take control and feel empowered is to know that this is a very difficult life transition, but you don't have to go through this alone. And the more information you can gather, the more you can learn about it, learn from other people, what's helped them, how they've grown, how they've survived, the better you're going to do.
Absolutely. And I would say that the other thing is most of us were raised and trained to look at what's going on outside of ourselves, the external, right? Whether it's my finances or fixing the house or being alone or not having enough friends. And when we focus on all of those things, we're focusing on the things that we don't have a whole lot of control over. And, when me and my team work with our clients, one of the key things that we really talk to them about is, there's one thing you have incredible control over, and that's yourself. And when you start examining your thoughts and your belief systems and the way you're interpreting what's happening in your world, and you begin to shift that, you become calmer, you become clearer, you become more confident, and that's the process of becoming like truly empowered. And then it's baby steps, right? It's like go out and join a meetup and go for a hike, or join a book club and sit around and have some wine and cheese with some women and talk about what you're reading, and take a baby step, and you're like, wow, I could do that, and then you're ready for the next one. And so it really does begin with, what are your beliefs? If you believe that you can't, or that life is over, or that you're too old, or you're too inexperienced, or whatever that is, that's where it starts. And when you especially work with someone like Mandy or myself, and you begin to poke around at that and turn those beliefs around, you feel very empowered as you move forward.
Is there a typical timeline for sort of social recovery? I mean, I know it varies by person, but is there some kind of normal time that most people manage to go through this in?
Well, I would say no, but I'm going to say that the first year after the loss of a spouse is a year of firsts. It's like you're going to do so many things for the first time. It's exhausting because there's just so much change. It's all so unfamiliar that it does get very tiring. But a year, 365 days from now, you are going to be a different person. You will have a different life. You'll have a different level of confidence. And so I think that you just have to be kind and gentle and compassionate with yourself while you're going through this year of firsts.
I agree, and I think that one of the most important things, I actually just did a show with one of the women on my team, is she's an expert in grief coaching, and we were talking about how it's so completely different for everyone. I might move through it really quickly. Someone else might move through it really slowly. Someone else might move through it with like huge amounts of emotion. And so there is, what's normal is what you're going through, is what I would say. And then, Mandy, I so agree about that first year. And I actually have an article called Journey to a New Norm. And what I was told going through my divorce, which was so helpful, is it takes two life cycles. That first year, that first life cycle, as Mandy said, it's like everything's new. You're going through the holidays, birthdays, other celebrations, for the first time in a different place. And then the second year, it's still bitter, but you're beginning to settle in. And by the time you enter into the third year, you're in your new norm. And so that's another thing to just keep in mind as you're going through wherever you are in the process.
Unfortunately, we have managed to use up our time here pretty quickly. We could go on with this for a long time. Mandy and Karen, do you have contact information you'd like to give to our listeners?
Karen, you want to go first?
Sure, thanks. That would be great. My website is journeybeyonddivorce.com, and you can reach us at info@. And I also have a closed Facebook page, which is called Journey Beyond Divorce Community. So if you are looking to connect with other people who are going through breakup and divorce, that's a great place to get some support.
And I'm Mandy Walker. I have the blog that Babette mentioned earlier. It's sincemydivorce.com. If you go there, you'll find some free stuff and tons of information about divorce. You can also contact me through my website for a free half-hour consult. And I'm on Twitter and Facebook as Since My Divorce.
My guests today have been Mandy Walker and Karen McMahon, and we've been talking about the social impact of divorce or widowhood on women. I've been your host, Babette Barone, here at KGNU.